Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, chaos at Dublin Airport. Evelyn O'Rourke is there this morning as the head of the DAA meets the minister. The Oireachtas Justice Committee last week recommended a ban on all gambling ads before the 9pm watershed. But should the lotto be included too, Brian O'Connell reports. And as we encourage people to use more public transport, is it time to ban taxis from the bus lanes? We debate. DIY expert Catherine Carton has turned her blog about crafting into a brand new book. And she'll be here a little bit later on. Heartbreak for Liverpool was compounded by trouble at the turnstiles. What really happened at the Champions League final in Paris? Guillaume Balaguer gives us his take. Our text number this morning is 51551. Email today cb@rte.ie. Or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Now, this morning, the Dublin Airport Authority confirmed that well over 1,000 people missed their flights because of the chaos there yesterday, with people queuing for hours outside the terminal buildings. Well, this morning, the Minister for State for Transport, Hildegard Nocton, is meeting the DAA to seek clarity about the situation. But as another busy week begins, will passengers continue to experience chaos and disruption? Evelyn O'Rourke is out at Dublin Airport for us this morning. So Evelyn, describe the situation there where you are.
Well, Claire, greetings from Dublin Airport. So I've been out here since early this morning, and we did see shots from very, very early this morning of a jam-packed departure section here. As I've been here since the morning, things have calmed down considerably. I'm standing beside Zone 3, so the security gates are just to my left, and at this point they're advising passengers that there's about 30 minutes to get through security. From a civilian kind of point of view, looking at it, I would describe it as moving well at this point. So that's going well for them. However, in my view and what I've been talking to passengers about this morning is that when I look down to the right hand side, so down area 5 onwards where passengers have arrived to check in, the problem could be bubbling there because people have come early, which is understandable when they heard about yesterday, but they're saying to me now that the problem is getting their baggage checked in. So that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds throughout the morning. But at this point, at the security gates here on my left hand side, DAA will be happy and that's moving along well.
Okay, now you've been talking to people there this morning. One family arriving hours early. They wanted to avoid missing their flights and they're heading to Disneyland.
Yeah, I mean, completely understandably, talking to people today, Claire, like the family, they saw the news yesterday and decided to set the alarm clock early. In this case, they had children travelling with them. It's a long-awaited trip. So they came out for 7 o'clock this morning for a flight later on today. So here's just a little flavour of what they did, the kind of plans they put in action to try and avoid queues.
What time did we leave?
7.
Okay, what time is your flight?
20 to 2.
You're here with the baby and everything because you're so worried.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many hours did you give yourself?
How many hours is it?
5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. So.
What did you think when you saw the stuff yesterday?
Frightened. We were scared that we weren't going to get it. And we've waited for so long. We're going to Disneyland, so we didn't want to. We're afraid, like, you know.
What's your plan for the waiting time? Just be patient.
Hang around. We brought some food with us and some drinks and just.
Oh, you've got little ones. Hello.
Hi.
You're Ruby. You're lovely, and you're off to Disneyland. But you were so worried about it. How long have you been planning your travels?
For about a year now. So yeah, and then when we seen everything over the weekend, we were kind of like, let's get up a little bit earlier, like, so just hopefully it all goes off all right.
All right, hours and hours early there for the flights. And another woman, and this person was seeing off her daughter who was going to Canada, and she lives in Canada.
That's right, and her flight, Claire, was due to go via Amsterdam, so the daughter's been home on a trip, if you know what I mean. So the mum told me that the daughter was due to do the first leg of that flight yesterday, but got a text cancelling that flight to Amsterdam yesterday. That was rescheduled for today, so she's now doing her leg to Amsterdam and then over to Canada today. And the mum said, again, like so many people I spoke to today, that they were so worried, so nervous, didn't really sleep well that last night, a lot of exhausted people out here, really, that they left their house, they were up and at it at 5 o'clock this morning to make sure that they were out here so that the daughter could make all those transfers. So here the mom tells me more at the security gate.
As we heard about yesterday, thought we'd, you know, try and preempt it.
So what time did you wake up at?
About 4.
For a flight at 11.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
And how's she getting on now?
Well, she's still got to get through security.
Okay.
That's another, probably another hour and a half, I think, they're saying. Or maybe an hour and 20 minutes.
And where is she flying to today?
She's going to Canada, to Vancouver.
Okay, so big trip.
She still could miss her flight. She's an hour then, it's only an hour to get on her flight from Amsterdam.
even if there are no delays, Evelyn, it's just the stress of that over, you know, the last couple of days. Now, people are left standing with their luggage for a long time because they're arriving early, hoping not to miss their flights. And you met a German woman who was really unhappy about this.
Yeah, in a way, this story kind of encapsulated so many of the chats I've been having. And I hear reports that Terminal 2 baggage is an issue there as well. But she made the point that, like everybody, she was trying to plan. She actually stayed in a hotel near the airport last night, so they'd be ready to go first thing this morning. And she said, look, I'm standing here, surrounded by my luggage. I came, you know, first thing this morning, but there's nobody at my check-in desk. So she was making two points, Claire. And it was, again, something I saw yesterday on social media. She was saying, look, I'm here, ready. I'm happy to queue. I know I have to queue, but I need to get my luggage in. And she's like, what was the point of me being here? But the second point that she made, and again, I've seen references to this, she says there's nobody that I feel I can ask. No one seems to have clarity on this. And so whether that's an airline situation as opposed to a DAA situation, that's what's interesting there. But she's standing there totally frustrated. So this is her talking to me over her sea of luggage.
So we came actually 8 o'clock and our flight is going 12:20. So I thought we can check in the luggage earlier.
You thought come early and get rid of my bags.
Yeah. I just check in the luggage and then just waiting and have enough time to queue. I don't mind if I have to stand for 3 hours, but nobody's there now. So we cannot give the luggage away. There is no information point here. I can't find any information point.
The DAA confirmed this morning, Evelyn, that well over 1,000 people missed their flights altogether yesterday, and you met some of those people.
We did. We got stories, spoke to people who actually missed their flight. And as we know yesterday, Claire, people were outside queuing for hours on end and being told and advised maybe your flight, you're going to miss it. It seemed unbelievable to people that you could actually miss your flight when you're here, but that is indeed what happened. And one woman I spoke to, Anna Kerwin, she's a lifestyle travel blogger, and she was talking about the fact that she and her mum had come really early yesterday. And while they were in the queue outside the building, they realised they were going to miss their flight. So there and then, they got online, they were due to go to England to visit a family member, so they had to go, booked online for flights that cost €400, ouch, but of course, you know, they should be due some sort of fund or refund, but at that point, they handed over that money. By the time I spoke to them, Claire, they'd been in Dublin Airport for 7 hours to get to the UK. So here, Anna Kerwin was finally through to security, sitting down with her mum, but she told me the story and the experience that they'd had trying to just get on a flight to the UK yesterday.
I am here in Dublin Airport with my mum. We are waiting for our rebooked flight to board at 3:15 to London Gatwick. We've been in the airport for close to 7 hours now. We got here at 8 a.m. for an 11:20 flight with Ryanair. We got an email from Ryanair last night to say we should arrive 2.5 hours before our flight. So we thought we were giving ourselves plenty of time. However, when we arrived from the shuttle bus from the long-term car park to Terminal 1, there was a queue outside going from Terminal 1 all the way down to Terminal 2, back up to Terminal 1. By the time we did this, it was 10 o'clock. We'd been in the queue for 2 hours. There was people there with 4 or 5 kids, people on crutches, elderly people standing there in the freezing cold with zero updates. By the time we got to the doors, they stopped letting people in and they said that anyone with a flight before 12:30 that their flight was cancelled and that they had to go home. I've never seen panic like it. People's plans and holidays crumbling around us. It was horrendous. So myself and my mum had to get over to the UK because we were going to visit my grandmother in her nursing home. So we decided to book a flight on the spot, which cost us €400. With no talk of us being compensated, we were just simply told to contact our airline. So they let us through. So we made our way down to Terminal 2, where we queued for a further hour to get through security. And we've been in the airport ever since.
Such a mess. And 7 hours later, hopefully they'll get to the UK today. That's Anna Kerwin. The local TD Labour's Duncan Smith is with Ev at the airport and joins us now. Duncan Smith, can you explain, have you been given an explanation as to why exactly this is happening? Because the DAA surely knew that this was going to be an extremely busy week.
Quite simply, the DAA made a massive error in letting so many security staff and other staff go towards the end of the COVID pandemic, and they did not have a plan to be able to replace them quick enough. And this shambles that we've had in the last day following weeks of chaos has been of their making. And I'm looking here, albeit it's not like it was yesterday, but I'm still seeing a sea of people down ready to check in, and a situation that is, you know, tense to say the least.
Yeah, there was mention this morning from Kevin Cullinan from the DAA on Morning Ireland about the level of absenteeism yesterday. Have you heard anything about that? Was there an unusual number of people who weren't available to work?
No, that's the first time I heard of that. But what we do know is that the actual base levels of staff are so low because the DAA had made so many redundant, albeit voluntary. But this is the culmination of years of, as the DAA call it, right-sizing. But the other word for it is downsizing. They've been downsizing staff, and they've been making the airport, which traditionally was a very proud place for people to work, and many of my constituents have been very proud to work there over the years, but have made the conditions and the pay have diminished both to such an extent now where it is becoming a more difficult place to work. There's not enough headroom and staff to deal with any kind of spikes, not to mention the somewhat predictable, let's just say, increase in travel demand that we've had post-COVID.
And yet if you talk to the DAA, they say that they've advertised for more staff and they've had thousands of people applying for those jobs.
But they've been unable to turn them into staff, which is incredible. I mean, when I was younger, I had people I was in college and further education with who would be part-time security staff. It was an attractive place to come and work part-time, and they would work in social areas. That's gone. It's not an attractive place to work anymore. And the DAA would admit that. The question should be put back to them. If they've had thousands of people applying, why do we not see the high vis vests and high numbers here, and why do we not see them opening security desks in behind the gate? I mean, it's all of their making, and it's an absolute shambles.
And it's hard to see how the situation is going to be improved in the short term. And I'm thinking about people who are planning to travel at the weekend and are looking now at a flight on Saturday and Sunday with dread.
Absolutely. I mean, this wasn't even a bank holiday weekend. We have the June bank holiday weekend come up. The summer season has started. We have a pent-up demand for foreign travel. We have people who have to travel, obviously, for work, to visit family that they haven't seen for many years. This was predictable, and we're not getting any sense that this will be resolved in the next couple of days, or albeit in the next couple of weeks. So this is turning into an international embarrassment for the country. This is our main gateway into Dublin, into the country, and we have people, as we heard today, as we heard on the reports earlier, who just won't return after their experience in Dublin Airport over the weekend.
Duncan Smith, Labour Party TD there at Dublin Airport with our own Evelyn O'Rourke, and if there are any further updates from the airport, we'll bring them to you. We'll also be speaking to Eddie Wilson, CEO of Ryanair, later in the programme, and Graham McQueen is the Media Relations Manager with the Dublin Airport Authority. But now Fionn Davenport is on the line, travel writer. Fionn, good morning.
Morning, Claire.
I have a message here in front of me from a listener who says it's really unfortunate, but it's the case all over Europe that airports are clogged up. And I was getting messages from people yesterday asking whether it was the same elsewhere or whether this was a particular problem in Dublin Airport. What's the answer to that?
Well, the answer is unfortunately it is an issue that's affecting other airports in Europe. I mean, news reports came over the weekend that KLM were cancelling flights at the urging of Schiphol Airport because they just couldn't handle the kind of numbers that were going through what, well, certainly in my opinion, and what many would agree, is one of Europe's best-run airports. So if an airport like Schiphol is having these kind of issues, unprecedented, might I add, it's a small measure of reassurance that it's not just an exclusively Dublin problem.
Yeah, but is it as bad as Dublin? I mean, are people missing their flights?
One of the things that hasn't happened is that the airlines haven't been urged by the DAA to be cancelling flights, as happened in Holland. However, it is much of a muchness. I mean, like, I've been in and out of Manchester over the last couple of months, and Manchester is a disaster. With the kind of queues that were seen in Dublin over the weekend, in what is a much smaller airport, but still relative to size, problems that were much, much bigger. This is no consolation to anybody going through the airport. I appreciate that, including, and I heard, was it yourself or Evelyn just saying this, is that people approaching next weekend with dread. I'm one of those people. I'm flying out on Saturday. And I have to say, this is like, even in all my years of being in and out of airports, I'm really kind of left as to, I don't know what the best way to approach this is.
Yeah, you see, and it's very hard to see how this is going to be improved before the weekend. I mean, the ministers can meet the DAA as many times as they want between now and then, but if the staff aren't in place, they're not going to be there by Saturday or Sunday, are they?
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, I take Duncan Smith's point. Is that as much as the DAA might be actively recruiting staff, is that conditions for staff aren't quite what they used to be, certainly when he was talking about years and years ago. There is also the other issue, is that a European directive came on in January, so vetting protocols for new staff are much more onerous, much more detailed, and take a lot longer than before the pandemic. So even you might be hiring X amount of staff, but it's going to take a lot longer before they can be allowed airside or dealing in it or working in the security systems, which is, again, scant consolation, but it is just another fact as part of this perfect storm. But for me, Claire, I have to say the thing that worries me the most is the DAA said they know why these problems occurred. Because as you said, it's that, like, it's not as if we didn't know that a summer glut was happening. It's not as if we didn't know that there's going to be a huge number of visit or travellers going through the airport. So it is concerning. And as you said, you know, they can meet the minister all they want, but they're not going to magic up, you know, the 300 extra staff that they need in the next 4 or 5 days.
Okay, why don't they employ the army and give them something positive to do? Then other people saying thousands of people are flying every day. What about climate change? And that has been mentioned too.
And that is definitely part of a bigger picture, but it doesn't really address the issues. I mean, I've heard that argument as well, but it doesn't address the issues of those who've been planning a holiday, who put off a holiday for a couple of years, who've got the kids in tow, they're finally going to get away, or they're going to visit family they haven't seen, or they're traveling for work. Like, I mean, these are very real issues that are happening right now. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind is that there was a big number posited over the weekend, 50,000 people going through the airport yesterday, which seems like an awful lot. And compared to the numbers that were travelling through the airport during the pandemic or in the last couple of years, is an awful lot. But it's a fraction. It's just over half the numbers that were going through the airport on a daily basis up to 2019. 2019 saw record numbers, nearly 33 million passengers. That's an average of 90,000 a day. And if the airport is struggling to handle 50,000 a day, God help us when they ramp up to kind of the pre-pandemic levels, which is perhaps not expected this summer. We're looking at 70-75% of pre-pandemic numbers. But, you know,
it's still higher than what we saw at the weekend in terms of passenger numbers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what concerns me, is this idea, this problem isn't going away anytime soon.
Okay. And you're travelling on Saturday. How many hours in advance of your flight are you going to get there, Fiona?
So this is the thing, is I'm very mindful of the fact that, like, absolutely understandable that people will show up an extra 4, 3, 4, 5 hours before their flight. But what it is you'd be contributing to the queues.
Yeah.
So the answer for me is for the staff to triage passengers. That's the key.
Yeah, but they said yesterday on RTE Radio that the volumes were so high that they couldn't do that. But Fiona, I'm going to leave it there because your line is in and out on us. But thank you very much for joining us on the programme. That's Fiona Davenport. Fiona and Sheehan next on the political implications of all this. That's after the break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.